Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this New Year's Day, would you read together with me the title of our sermon? Christmas is not always nice. Today you will not find a sermon outline in your bulletin, so don't be looking for that. You'll just have to pay attention to the preacher. Curious title, don't you think? Christmas is not always nice. I can't tell you how much time I have spent just in the last couple of weeks with people who have lost a loved one to death, who are going through family challenges, who are hospitalized or have other issues in their lives. Christmas isn't always nice. Listen to a portion of Matthew chapter 2's gospel reading for this morning about the killing of the innocent children in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, the boys, at the time of Jesus' birth. Christmas, you see, isn't always nice. Listen to the text. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and flee to Egypt. Remain till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to try to destroy him." So Joseph took the child and his mother and left for Egypt. And when Herod realized he had been tricked by the wise men, he became very enraged. He sent and he slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem and its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. You see, Christmas isn't always nice. It can be brutal. It can be a difficult time. It can be a hurtful time. It can be a painful time. It is not always as sweet and joyful and sentimental as a scene portrayed in a Hallmark Christmas card that maybe you received this Christmas. For some people, Christmas can be a lonely time. It can be a time that brings some folks painful memories. In some families, it can be a time of conflict. For many pastors, it can be a stressful time with many services to prepare and sermons to write and people to visit. And it seems never to fail, year after year, as mid-December comes around. I spend time with numerous people who are struggling with family issues, health issues, and people often pass away in December. It happens every year, all during the Christmas season. You see, Christmas is not always nice. It can be brutal. But thanks be to God. Are you with me now after that long introduction? Thanks be to God that Christians do not put their confidence and hope in sentimental Christmas traditions or the fragile joy of family gatherings. Rather than a brief break from life's realities, Christmas is a source of lasting comfort and strength in the midst of life's realities. It should then come as no surprise that on the 3 days right after Christmas, the church has traditionally celebrated three saints, three groups of witnesses, three groups of people who suffered because of their relationship with their Lord Jesus Christ. Now, due to the busyness and the running around of the Christmas season, these three groups of people of old have often been forgotten by modern Christians. But not today. We're going to remember them. These three saints' days, right after Christmas, help us to ground our Christmas joy in the name of the one who conquers sin, death, and the devil, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This past Monday, you know, I bet that probably 9 out of 10 of you didn't even recognize this was going on. Last Monday, December the 26th, the church traditionally remembers St. Stephen's Day. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Stephen was among the 7 deacons. You can look this up in the book of Acts, chapter 6. Stephen was among the 7 deacons chosen by the apostles to care for the poor and the needy. Now, it wasn't Stephen's acts of mercy that upset people. Some were angry because of Stephen's powerful and unflinching testimony to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when the Pharisees and other self-righteous religious leaders of the day couldn't shut Stephen up, they stoned him to death. In Acts chapter 7, we read Stephen's very last words as he grazes into heaven and is granted a vision of the resurrected Jesus just before Stephen dies. Listen to Stephen's dying words, because they sound strangely like the words of our Lord Jesus from the cross. Stephen said, "O Lord, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Stephen's final words proclaim the lasting truth of Christmas. Heaven is now open. Jesus was not just Emmanuel, God with us as a baby. He's Emmanuel, God with us forever, victorious over sin, reigning in heaven. He still cares for us. And he still welcomes his saints into his hands forever. Death does not have the last word. This past Tuesday, the 27th. Guess what day that was? St. John's Day. The day the church traditionally remembers St. John, the apostle and the evangelist. Like John, Stephen certainly deserves the title witness. As an eyewitness to Jesus' life and death and resurrection, St. John wrote the gospel that bears his name. And in John chapter 20, verse 31, John tells everybody why he wrote the gospel. He says, "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing in him, you may have life in his name." 3 epistles, 3 letters also bear the name of John. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And John also wrote that magnificent book, the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. For all of his witnessing to Jesus, John was the only apostle of our Lord who did not suffer a martyr's death. But he suffered, though. He was exiled to an island named Patmos by a Roman emperor. And church tradition tells us that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. And John later died an old man in the city of Ephesus, about 100 A.D., John dedicated his entire life to serving the Lord, and he suffered because of it. But John's life and ministry, just like Stephen's, fits perfectly with Christmas. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, John gives us his one-verse commentary on Christmas. Now, St. Matthew and St. Luke, when they wrote about Christmas, dedicated 2 chapters. John's commentary on Christmas was one verse. John 1, verse 14. John says, "The Word," speaking of Jesus, "the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And in his epistle, 1 John 1, 1, John proclaims Jesus. I quote, "Who we have heard, who we have seen with our own eyes, who we have looked upon, who we have touched with our own hands." And John's glorious vision of heaven and Jesus' eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil is proclaimed in his beautiful book of Revelation. There John writes in Revelation 5:13, Jesus, the Lamb, sits upon the throne. He is worthy to receive praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. In all of his writings, St. John points us to the very central truth of Christmas. Now, if I were to clap my hands this morning and say, somebody quickly tell me, what is the central message of Christmas? What would you tell me? It's not about Santa and presents and parties and family ups and downs. It's about the love of God come to us in human flesh. John himself tells us in the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, where he said, "For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son." And in the 1st chapter of his epistle, verse 7, John points us to the very reason Jesus was born at Christmas time. Listen to what John says. "And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." Speaking of blood, this past Wednesday, I bet it caught you unaware. The 26th Monday, St. Stephen's Day. The 27th Tuesday, St. John's Day. The 28th Wednesday is known by the church as the Day of the Holy Innocents. And here is where today's sermon text from Matthew chapter 2 comes in. Matthew 2 says this, "And Herod killed all the male children in Bethlehem and its vicinity, from 2 years old and under." One can say that the darkest and worst martyrdom is the slaughter of these babies called the Holy Innocents. Matthew alone tells us about this terrible event. It certainly fits Herod's reputation as a cruel and ruthless and paranoid leader. His fear of Jesus, the newborn king, caused him to destroy any boys in Bethlehem who were about Jesus' age. He wanted no competition to his throne, not even from a newborn boy. What senseless violence! What senseless violence! And at Christmas, in our world today, look around. Violence and evil never take a holiday. Just read the newspapers or watch a TV news report or a news report on the internet. Violence and evil takes no holiday, even at Christmas. And today, the abortion slaughter of unknown, unborn babies should make us pause. We too once dwelt in a womb and a crib. It could have been us. Our Lord Jesus sanctified all life by his own conception and birth as a baby into our world. Matthew's account tells us this about the killing of the Bethlehem babies. It could have been Jesus. These innocent Bethlehem babies, in effect, died for the one who came to die for them. Their deaths bear witness to man's sinful and selfish cruelty. Their deaths bear witness to the world's rage, even today, against Jesus the Savior. My friends, if you haven't noticed, Christianity isn't all about candy canes and snowflakes. It's real life in a real world suffering with real sin. Peace and hope on earth is only found in Jesus' shed blood on the cross and his rising from the grave. Jesus' death for sinners, Jesus' death for you and me sinners, was the true martyrdom, bearing clear witness that our salvation is accomplished. And so, my friends, Christmas, for all of its joys, is not always nice. It can be brutal. The days that follow Christmas can be, for some people, even harder than Christmas itself. Just ask St. Stephen. Just ask St. John. Just ask the holy innocents of Bethlehem. Just ask any of us here who have lost loved ones or struggle at Christmas time. These days after Christmas may not be all sweet and nice for you. But thanks be to God that Jesus is the very center of our Christmas. Only God in human flesh can redeem us by His precious blood. Only God in human flesh can give us the peace and the strength we need now. Only God in human flesh, born in a manger, crucified on a cross, risen from a tomb, can give us a sure hope for all eternity. Anything else can never stand up to this real world in which we live. The great German hymn writer, Paul Gerhardt, tells us this in his glorious hymn, "All My Heart Rejoices." Listen to this verse of the hymn. "Here the conqueror has spoken. Now the foe, sin and woe, death and hell are broken. God is man, man to deliver, and the Son now is one with our blood forever." No, Christmas isn't always nice, but we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and in His name we go forth into this new year in the power and strength of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.